try a back door.
Alrighty.
Got rid of that one. That's all I can say. This has been going on for a year. People say, oh, first time I've ever heard of it.
Longer than a year.
I'd like to welcome our chair,
more than a year.
Mr. Barber. So, someone wants to make an action to start the meeting, we can do that.
We'll start the meeting.
Second.
Awesome. Okay, welcome. So, first on our agenda, I just wanted to bring to your guys' attention that the Policy Board Committee is meeting on September 11th at the County Building, where we will discuss and vote on the new allocation methodology. I don't really know.
Salt Lake County Building?
Salt Lake County Building, yes. I would like to say that I'm hopeful that it will go a great way, but based on discussions that have been had in the past, and not necessarily discussions where I was there, this is, I guess, somewhat hearsay. I can't really tell you a direction that I am expecting the conversation to go, but I'm hopeful that it will be better than what it is now, and at least as good as it was before in 2017. So speaking of as it was before, I've included your first little thing in your packet, a little memo that kind of outlines the discussion that we've had as an RRC for the allocation methodology, gives a little bit of background of conversations that we've had, and the importance of having this discussion, as well as the direction that we as an RRC decided that we would like to see the allocation go. So this, if you read it over, is kind of the one pager in two pages that would be what you would want to, if you run into or have a relationship, working relationship with anyone who is on the policy board or works with CDBG or even works at any of the other AOGs that, like say you had a great relationship with one of their executive directors or...
feel they should just remain in the control of the local programs and be split up in a needs-based way that holds us to the 2017 amount.
And the reason kind of that we're giving this to you guys is that we've, internally, we kind of feel that I've exhausted all of my reasoning and my discussion with all the other AOG, CDBG staff people. You know, we've talked through it. We've talked in circles, and we feel that bringing it to maybe a higher level and talking with policy committee members, and even Andrew Gruber, our executive director, is willing to, you know, have these conversations with other executive directors and kind of have more of a top-down approach than a just the bottom approach.
Has this been shared with the other?
No. So this has been made for you guys, just so that if you do have any conversations with any of these people, not limited to these people, but if you know, you know, of another AOG member that could have any influence on this decision, such as the executive directors, these are just helpful talking points for you to have a good dialogue and get them to kind of agree to the overarching principles before we get into depth of like what the actual numbers would be, what the formula is going to be. Because if we can agree to those principles, what the actual formula is will be easier to be determined, and
right.
Yeah, just be more easily reached if those principles are agreed to.
So some additional comments. Jeff Scott from Box Elder and Jerry Tater have been very supportive of what we've done. Hillary Gordon is no longer there because she's not the mayor anymore. There was a gentleman that's now, I think, the mayor of Huntington.
Oh.
And he was there last time when we were.
Okay.
And,
it can show up.
Because Hillary's no longer there, I don't think. She didn't run last time.
Ken was supportive at first of keeping the old formula, and then when he turned at the last minute and said, well, we're going to get more money. And it was very much money, but they're getting about just as much money now with this new formula than before. But I might try to give him a call.
Yeah, just any conversations to gauge where people are and kind of make them see where we are. The less surprised that we are on the 11th, the better.
People get pretty selfish when it comes to money. I'm surprised not looking at the real needs.
Right, exactly. And with all the other criteria that other AOGs are kind of trying to pull in that I personally can't see any relevance at all even to CDBG is a little disheartening. So these principles are really, I think, the most important first step to get people to agree to as much as possible. So if you guys have any questions on that, feel free to reach out.
So the better rationalization is we should split the pod based on our areas. What are they basing on?
Needs-based, or not needs-based.
There's five counties, so you split it five ways.
That's what they're saying.
That's what they want to do.
They want to just even split it.
Right. So before it was based on population and LMI, you know, the goals of CDBG. And
it's that simple.
Right.
The criteria.
What it did is it gave four of the area AOGs more money and took away the three, so they were able, that's why the vote ended up.
Right. So, to reiterate what Jerry just said, there have been some smaller AOGs like Bragg in particular who really saw the inequity of taking away all of that funding from us. And so we do have some true CDBG supporters that I think we can count on being voting our way.
Well, you just need one, don't we? Weren't we one short last time? When Ken switched, that was the sway vote.
Yeah,
Ken Burke.
So I'll keep you guys posted on how that meeting goes. I'll send you guys a overview of the discussion and what we figured out.
So September 11th is the meeting?
Yep.
Most of this decision change, though, because it was the state, wasn't it? I mean, they wanted
Jennifer, to wasn't it?
So the state, what they have said is that some of the smaller AOGs were asking for this change, but they didn't, you know, they didn't say who, they didn't necessarily say why.
Well, San Juan started it, and it started with mental health, and it started with public health, and they basically have taken money from everybody else in order to increase their funding, and it's hurt, like on the health side, they hurt 11 health departments, but gave them lots of money.
Kindle credit. Usually leads that discussion as far as splitting it. He's pretty vocal on that. I know that Mayor Gordon was supporting, I think it's Lamar Diamonds, the new mayor.
Oh, okay.
Just looked it up. And I think the last meeting, he came, but he was kind of a little bit more reserved, and I think he was just trying to fill his way as to what the discussion was, but he seemed at first to be a little bit okay with not doing the five-way split and or the seven-way split and just coming up with another formula. But I don't know. And then Byron Woodland from GWAP was more reserved. I mean, he wasn't as critical, but you know. But he said, you know, if I gain more money, I can't vote to lose money because I'm up with my constituents. So.
Yeah. Well, most of these counties are going to be in that predicament.
Right.
I can't vote for what's right because I want to get reelected.
So that is the reality.
So you're always saying we want to keep the allocation method to stay within the CDBG guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Is there, we know needs-based is probably the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like three guidelines that we're saying let's keep to those because all these other are falling outside of that?
So the principal goals of CDBG are to provide a suitable living environment, remove slum and blight, and increase housing options for low to moderate income people. And all of those are principally for low to moderate income people. And as it was before, there was a HUD formula that was deciding the allocation method, and that was based on percent of LMI population, percent of pre-1980 housing, and let me think of what the last one was, and then per capita population. So there was a formula based on those three criteria that went into the distribution method. And now, during change, there was no real rhyme or reason to a new formula, like to the formula that was decided on, which was just a 7-way split across the board, regardless of population, regardless of LMI need, regardless of number of pre-1980 housing.
Was 10% done for need and 90% was to go on the base? Is that kind of the new formula went?
There was a, I don't know if it was percent, but it was a flat $300,000 base for every region, and then the remainder was put through that formula.
Well, so that, yeah, to that point, we've already done this equity calculation once over the 30 plus years of CDBG in the state, because if you base it just on percentage of population, the LMI, and the pre-1980s households, we would get even more of the funding than we're receiving in 2017. And so the state, through the $300,000 base, leveled the playing field once already.
Correct.
And so determining what that base could be, maybe that's the number that needs to be at question or something else, but what they've really done is just thrown everything away instead of make the minor tweaks necessary. Because even, you know, I think the other areas of the state look at us as the large population center, we have the most funding opportunity, we have the most opportunities, but at the same time, we have also the most blight, we probably have, you know, we have some of the most, the greatest needs. So it all, it's a spectrum. It's not just because we're high population areas. We still have very rural areas of our region that have just as many needs as rural areas in the state. So I think that we just need to speak reasonably to all of that whole thing. But it's important to note that we have done this equity calculation once already with providing a $300,000 base to all AOGs in the state. So it's
thanks for your compromise. We want more.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I just want to make sure I'm understanding.
Right. Yeah. And like the graph again is just to kind of show like we're willing to compromise. Like we know that you guys feel that way and it is needs based. So as long as we are held harmless, we're willing to give up some of the extra money that maybe would have been ours if we would have put it through the formula. Right. And we probably would have got even more. So mm-hmm. we're trying to compromise, you know, and we're not trying to get the most money. We actually want the needs to be met across the entire state.
But to hold harmless also is what we're trying to push.
Right. Because as we were working out the formulas and crunching the numbers and determining, like, look, we would get way more money if it was needs-based. The other AOGs were kind of doing the same thing with their other criteria, and our allocation numbers were just going down, 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 down.
I think it's your best argument. A lot of places don't want you to lose money, and if it comes to other farmers for them, you say, hey, you know, we're trying not to hold farmers like we have done other things. I think people are more apt to support you because you're trying to hold everybody harmless, mm-hmm. especially if there's a change.
Right. So if any of these conversations happen, it would be great, and it would increase our chances of having a better outcome.
And everybody still gets an increase.
Everyone yep. still gets an increase.
Except for Wasatch Front.
Which would still be an increase from what we have this year, which was around $760,000. Mm-hmm. So, moving on. Rating and ranking criteria update. That is the next items in your packet. So this is as they are currently. And through our last scoring cycle, you know, we kind of discussed, like, if we thought there was holes in our criteria. One thing that we kind of floated was Do we, are we okay with one entity getting more than one award in the same funding cycle? And when we talked about it before, we kind of were like, well, if they have the most need, they should get the money. So I just wanted to kind of bring up that discussion again and try and look at both sides, maybe play a little devil's advocate, you know, spreading the love around the entire region has its benefits. The capacity of that entity could be, you know, really bogged down if they have two CDBG projects at once. But then again, as we stated earlier, if the need is there and it scored well, then they should get the money. So that was the first.
It makes it hard. Because you take somebody like Wendover.
Right.
And Wendover is a smaller community compared to some of your other communities. And if they get one grant and it takes a pretty big chunk, they can qualify for the second one because they're so small and they have such a high percentage. But I also think you need to look at the needs through the mm-hmm. region and the number of people that you're affecting, because I know the formula when you run through the numbers, even though you use that calculation of population in there sometimes for need, you just can't overcome the other ones. And if some of you already got one grant, maybe you look at the other grants before you fund a community a second time.
I think that's probably a good idea.
Because that way you can...
And then go back to them if nobody else qualifies.
Yeah. Or if the community decides that's the greatest need. But I think if Twilla got it and then they got number two, and it's like, not fair to the rest of you to some degree, unless you really have addressed it and says, hey, what is the best use of this money? And let's see if we can get two projects going and then come back for the third project or second project at 12. It just didn't apply to anybody else, or that's really an important thing. But I have a hard time taking all the money when there's so many, everybody has a need. Mm-hmm. Where everybody needs housing, especially for
What if we put, just say if you've received money within the past 3 years, you cannot receive double.
Well, isn't this so the, that's the one same of year? Our
yeah. Well,
no, we're not going to. If I applied for 2 years, I sent in two grants, and two of my grants are up at the top. Rather than fund two of them, fund only the one of them until we fund the other ones and look to see if we need to come back to that one. But I think he...
I don't think there's going to be ever any money left to go back to that other one.
There might not be, but I just think, why should I automatically get two unless it's really something pressing need, if there's some other needs in the area.
So
but it's just in the single year that we're talking about.
Right.
And there is a penalty in there anyway, as the different versus our CIP, when you rank which project is going to be first. Mm-hmm. There is a little bit of a penalty built in there. If they're not your first, your high priority, and then maybe the third, then they're not going
to rank
it as high.
And to your point, you also receive more points the longer it's been since your last CDBG award,
right.
And less the closer it's been. So I think if you received one last year, you get 0 points. If it's been more than one, you get, so on and so forth. So, right.
That's what we tried to do with that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that.
Most of their projects are community infrastructure, aren't they?
Wendover has.
So we've got the
water,
250,000 max on there. So that may help out as well with reducing the ability to ask and take a huge portion of that pot for community infrastructure type projects. So
I know in the past we've had a couple sometimes there's a lot and sometimes there wasn't hardly any. So I haven't heard of any. Have you heard of any for our area?
I haven't heard.
Somebody that's planning on applying? Have you guys heard anything?
I haven't recently.
Sorry, I just took a bite.
The only one that talked last time was the senior center. They were talking about trying to do something with that property of the new cleaners. But they decided to drop out and support the Children's Justice Center when that came up 2 years ago. I haven't heard anything more. Of course, the housing people, Deanne mentioned some things, but I don't know what she's talking about. If it's this money, she has some other money she's looking at. Mm-hmm. Our housing authority people.
I can see our housing authority doing something as well this year, but other than that, I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I haven't heard either.
You allow somebody to get two projects, but they can't total more than $250,000.
But is there a limit of $750,000 already for one project, or what?
It's $250,000.
It's $250,000 for one.
For a capital infrastructure project.
Yeah. So if you we got two small ones,
The maximum.
Maximum $250,000, or maybe we say if you qualify for two, maybe the maximum total is $300,000. I don't know. So you don't have one community going in for $500,000.
Right.
I can see
if they go in for three. Mm-hmm. Or they're going for three projects, and
you must know Grantsville.
And they get all three of them.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Jerry lives there.
Not for long.
It's your mayor, it's not you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know.
Maybe you know the mayor, we do something like that.
So, but it seems like you've had a hard time finding a project, and that's why I get worried. I would like to.
What project
I'd
were you
like
looking
to see
at?
It spread around, but if there was something that we could.
It was
we were looking at ADA handicapped restrooms in some of the parks and in the.
That's what it was. The restrooms, I remember.
And it didn't score very well. Because our cap income is so high. You can spend all the time in the world trying to juice it up, but it ain't going to make any difference because of the ranking ratings are pretty good. So.
What about if they go down to just a project in Morgan proper as opposed to...
In the city, you mean?
The county, where you get a little bit lower income base, right? I'm assuming from what I've heard.
Yeah, so probably a good idea. Lance just said that. It's a city.
Well, but what I remember from last year discussing this was that even to get out and verify the LMI to that area, mm-hmm. and put that data together, we just didn't want the staff to go out and actually document. We probably could. We've got to do so much work documenting it, but
another thing.
That's $50,000 to figure out if we can qualify for $50,000.
Or you walk in there four different times and you take
how many years?
Certainly
10 people.
Yeah, that's
should have could have.
We tried to get Boy Scout groups and all this stuff, verify all this stuff, but some people won't tell you.
Right.
In the woods.
Another thing to consider is I don't believe that criteria number 10 was as it is now when Morgan applied for that project. So
where are you at?
Criteria number 10.
Regional project,
right? So I don't believe you guys received any points for being an ADA project. So the point of this scale, I believe, is to kind of
help with that.
Yeah, so this was another point I wanted to talk to you guys about and just kind of reassess the needs across the entire region and see if this is representative of the projects that we want the most of. So, what I'm getting from this is that projects that increase the community's tax base are most important to our CDBG region. So I just wanted to check back with you guys and make sure that, this is still the priority order that you guys believe is most necessary for the region.
Let's get through the one community,
yes.
Two projects.
Okay.
Yeah, and then jump.
One bird at a time on this.
What number nine seems to get at that, it's going to push it back, but it's only 1 point difference if I've never received funding. I think it ought to be worth, if you never received funding, you finally got a project in there. I don't know how much 1 point is going to really matter. There needs to be a bigger graduation there. I just love it.
Okay, and then
20 points.
And I'm also
jump.
Yeah.
I think it solves it for 1 year and they have to change it back to one.
Yeah, seriously. And I'm not 100% sure if this was updated last year. It predates me just barely. So last year was FY 2018, so received funding in FY 2016 is 2 points. It doesn't account for if you got funding the year before, so you just get zero. So pretty much what... We're jumping. Okay. Should we go back to...
That's a good thing to come up with, but this is a total capped points, right? So to add points to one, you have to take points away from another one, or is that not true? What's the total points that you can receive?
That's been true.
I don't think
so.
That's
it's not like out of 100 and you just allocated them out. Okay, so you could add another.
And each region has their own number.
You can handicap 2 points if you want to.
Okay, mm-hmm. I see.
All right. So two projects in a cycle.
Before we get too ahead of ourselves.
Our other funding programs for the region, the infrastructure grants, STPC, MAC, and TAP, you can receive 2 projects in 1 year, but we've just always told people to put your best foot forward because you're ultimately competing with yourself. So there are cities that will apply for the next 5 projects on their CIP that are all water lines, street overlay, sidewalk projects, whatever, and then of course they rank them internally, so we do have a 1 through or whatever, but we've had multiple times where one community receives more than 1 grant. Especially out of different funding sources. So it's not unheard of for WFRC generally, but we try to spread that money out as much as possible as well in the other grant applications.
I thought your idea was very innovative, and I like it.
Yeah.
And I obviously am happy with whatever decision you guys make. So kind of from what I'm hearing is we either limit each entity to 1 project per funding cycle or put a dollar cap on an entity's.
So by entity, you're saying, you're not saying, okay, if Tooele County has a project, you're on, it's whatever, because sometimes you're the sponsor
right.
for yeah. some other group, so it's that group that you're sponsoring, so we could still have 3 or 4.
I mean, that's up to you guys
right?
as well, but that yeah. is how
what I worry about
set
is
it.
Not spending the money. Because we're telling people we should have more money, a bigger share of the pot. And if we limit ourselves, if we don't, we can't spend the money, then we're playing into the rest of the
agents.
AOGs are saying, yeah, well, why don't you give it to us? If we can spend it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way I see it, Tooele County could apply, your housing authority could apply,
mm-hmm.
they and another agency in Tooele could apply and all get grants in the same year,
right.
but Tooele County itself couldn't get over a
yes.
certain amount.
Or the Children's Justice Center couldn't
correct.
Receive from one county, could receive 2 under this new,
yes.
but it'd be capped,
right.
or any one jurisdiction within a county. But all of those social service providers that require a sponsor,
yes.
those don't go against Tooele County as a whole
yeah,
on,
that's
on
right.
the application,
yeah.
in my opinion.
So why don't we go, you can do 2, but they can't exceed 300,000 total.
Is that for one community?
That's for any one applicant.
Group, one applicant.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm trying to make sure that we don't get to a point where you restrict something that you want to do because and then you don't have enough people to apply, and there's 2 really good housing projects that might be up to Morgan or whatever, and I don't want to say, hey, we don't have the money, but we do have the money. Then you look back at the statement. Somehow have a rule in there that it could be it's capped at 300,000 unless there's additional funds available.
That's what you have to do, yeah. Unless there's additional funds.
On that type of, so if it were $300,000 and a city applied for a road leading up to a housing unit and then a housing separately, they could actually, that could be 1 project split into 2 applications. And I guess it's at their risk that they don't receive them both, but just thinking devil's advocate, that's one way for a single entity to receive more money than the current cap of $250,000.
Maybe leave the cap at $250,000 anyway.
But
unless,
that's not a huge amount.
But add it,
I mean,
unless there's additional funds available.
Not, right.
Yeah, you don't want to make it too attractive, but you want to make it
possible.
You know, yeah, possible. And
yeah.
Also, I just want it to be, there's always way more ask than we have available. So
always, but we're afraid that's not, kind of have doubt that might happen this
people
year.
Are kind of nervous this year because the expense has gone up so much for projects that you might not have many can fund a project because the building costs are so high.
Mm-hmm. You need a bigger match to fund it.
It's harder to get money right now, also.
So we could include the unless funds are available clause.
Yeah, we have to keep the same number, 250, 250. That way it doesn't get confusing. And it's already in the 250.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with that if that's what you guys...
Yeah, that sounds okay.
Okay. So 250 limit.
And I would edit the bullet point number 2. RRC will not award more than half of the available funds to any one project / community in any one year. So I just would make sure that this is number 2 is project and community based. If that's the case,
yeah.
If you're going to limit,
yeah, that's kind of restating the fact.
Yeah, kind of. I would just make sure all of the language anywhere else there's a call out to the one project and a cap. We just go back through and make sure it's doubled.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so that takes care of that issue, and then if we want to jump, we'll just go in order. So jump to criteria number 9. If we just want to determine the, you know, increments of years back that we want to go and how many points you get, respectively.
So the first year you get 0, right?
So if we're going to update this for this year, we like FY 2016 would be,
yeah,
FY 2017, 15 would be 16, 14 would be 15. So as it stands now, if you received
money
in 2018, you get 0 points. Right. 2017, you get 2 points. 16, 3 points. 2015, 4 points. Never 5 points.
Yep.
So if we agree with those increments, that's good. If we want to increase the number of points for someone who has never received CDBG.
5 points, that's a pretty good chunk.
I'd leave it reverse
that.
It's
not 20 points, but it's...
But it's only 1 point above.
Four.
I mean, dropping 84 points is not much of a percentage change. That's, I just, you're not really getting that much bang for having never gotten any money. That's all I'm... I would just separate it. Like,
so what's your recommendation?
I would say it'd be 2, 4, 6, 8. I mean, it would just to increase it a little more, so they get a little bit...
So you'd increase all of them, not just the never. You would put the never up to 7 points.
Well,
and the others, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Something like that. You could do it however you want, but it's, I'm only getting 3 more points, and I've never gotten money, and they got money last year.
I think
there's
if
3 more points, is that impact on 80 points?
I'd rather leave them the same. If you wanted to change never from 5 to 6 points, I'd rather do that.
I think that'd be
just
my recommendation, because there are so few points that 1 point really can make or break a project.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it goes closer. Move that up to 6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
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 Moving right on to number 10. Do we feel those priorities are still in line, representative of the amount of points they would receive?
Housing right now is really on the top of everybody's mind with Housing Coalition. I don't know if that's a reason to rearrange these and give housing more points, but just knowing regionally housing is a big deal.
You want to switch housing and move it up one?
It's a big deal for a need, but I know in Tula County we're getting pushback when we want to do housing projects because they don't want more.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
So we could be giving it more points and then local interest is zero anyways.
How about switching housing for public utilities? Make housing choice 5, public utilities for the 4.
Yeah.
I think public utility and tax base both ought to go down.
What's that?
Both the top 2 should be
lower. Shouldn't lower moderate income housing? And I don't know. It seems like it's...
Yeah, the public infrastructure everywhere is getting older.
Yeah.
That's the problem for 20 years, 30 years. A lot of people haven't taken care of their
water needs. Public utility infrastructure or public infrastructure?
Public utility infrastructure.
The water and the sewer systems have not been updated.
It's becoming relevant.
In a lot of these areas.
And the place.
And the place they don't upgrade is in the needed area. This is the only place that qualify, that low-income area.
One thing I'm wondering if it applies a bunch to our CDBG Small Cities program is the increasing the community's tax base. There isn't a lot of economic development projects that are awarded or done in our region. To say that they're not important, but right. It may be moot point, you know.
Interestingly enough, Davis County's Business Development Loan Fund was originally funded by a CDBG grant sometime in the 80s, and then it became its own sustainable fund. But there was an effort in the beginning to increase the number of businesses in Davis County, and they looked at CDBG as the potential for that. And there were all sorts of ties, I think, originally to the money of funding low-income employees. You can do a number of things with CDBG. So if you're a business coming into an area and you're going to fund people who are, you know, leaving jail or who have historically been LMI or other types of minority or affected populations, persons with disabilities, then you can receive some CDBG dollars. But those are really difficult to administer as compared to building a new bathroom at a women's shelter or, you know, putting asphalt in the ground or new water pipes. Like, that stuff's really easy and it's tangible, so we don't see a lot of it, but it's, you know, I could see moving that down. I don't see a lot of economic development projects being practical in this fund right now.
So the increase of the community's tax base should maybe be moved all the way up to the top where it's only a one? I mean,
I'd be interested in, I mean, you're new to the program, and I have been here for a few years, but pretty new to this, in just what applications we've ever received that are under that item. You know, I bet it's pretty low, but I'd be interested to know who's even applied and what they were trying to do.
And I think the state is kind of makes eligibility for economic development projects a little bit harder, mm-hmm. and I think that might be part of the reason why we don't get a lot of economic development projects. Yeah. So I'm just, you know, thinking out loud here. If, you know, if it's not super relevant to the program that we run, just maybe moving it up even a couple notches.
Yeah.
Are you talking about maybe taking that?
This one
and move it to three, or
make it fewer points.
So then four would be five, and five would be six.
You can move it to just after community facilities, approval for ADA barriers, or you can move it down by public health and bump all the rest of them up.
I don't know. I think
leave it alone.
Fire trucks. No, I mean.
You want a fire truck.
Are fire trucks part of that? Is that how you... Oh, I'm done. I'm just wondering, is that...
No, I don't see the fire truck as being public utility infrastructure.
I just think he's talking about...
They're public health and safety equipment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah?
So, yeah, if you haven't had that many requests, if nobody's scored in that tax base area, obviously it could move down, but where...
Right.
I think public health and safety...
The only thing that I could think of was... Was it your area where they were trying to clean up a lot or a place that was blighted? It seemed like a couple of years. That may have been over a week, because there was one where we were trying to clean up a blighted area, but there was an application.
Was that Mary Slaterville?
Yeah.
It may have been.
So, you know, Mary Slaterville, they filled out. They were always getting points for... What was that? Was that the regional
quality growth communities?
Oh, is that what it was? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is another one I wanted to talk about. As soon as we,
I couldn't remember what that was. They put a lot of time and money in developing that program, and they always got a couple points for that. But nobody else really wanted to put the effort in.
Four points.
And maybe people don't realize that we can do this, because there are entrepreneurial centers and other items, especially Weber County has one. So I just looked it up on HUD's website, and it says CDBG use for economic development is financing eligible economic development projects, including micro-enterprise, small business development, large-scale commercial and industrial development, job creation, job retention, and job training. So I guess technically, like an ATC could apply for CDBG funds for job training activities, or maybe to improve their capacity for job training. And if there was an LMI tie to either the population of people who went to school or who would receive those services. So it's beneficial. I just don't know if people don't know that it's out there and an available type of funding. I don't know. I would be. I mean, it's your RRC. I'm a passenger in this meeting.
And maybe that was placed as a six because there aren't a lot of other criteria. If that project were to come in as an application, there aren't a lot of other criteria that would move it up the scale. So maybe that's why it's listed as a six.
Well, I would hope the community would think of, you know, any project, just kind of think of crazy projects, and then say, we want to do this, Christy, and call you and say, can we do this? And then you can research and say, yeah, you can, or mm-hmm. no, you can't. That's mm-hmm. that's what I hope people are doing. I mean, I know we do it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. what do you think? Man, let me run it by somebody else. And,
right.
But, what if we moved it up to number... You don't see any more ADA projects coming in here.
Well, we're going to talk after this.
I think the barriers we have, I mean, there's things that are more critical for us right now, fire apparatuses and those types of things, you know, ambulances. And so.
Then I would move to just move it up and give it one time. If we don't know what. If nobody's coming in and utilizing
that was my point.
Move it up to one point, move everything down.
Okay.
And then if we ever get a project, we can always start this. That somebody says, hey, this is really help, we can always change it next year. I mean, that's why I kind of asked, but because I know Twillis County has done pretty good with Wendover, with getting it, and plus the children's. But it was a spread to wealth, because I know we've tried to have some other projects that didn't quite meet the criteria that we've been trying to do.
I think that'd help.
Okay, so do we have consensus to move, increase the community's tax base to number one, and each moves up one respectively after that?
That's
what I propose.
Okay.
Yep, let's try this next year.
Need to vote on it, Christy?
That's how we get to the end.
Just vote on the end.
Okay.
We've got consensus on each one so far.
Yeah, it's up to you. I mean, if we...
You're on the chair.
Okay, so let's have a show of hands at who wants to do, as Jerry said, and move, increase the community's tax base to one and everything else up one. Okay, so let's vote unanimous, so let's do that.
Okay, perfect. And then, last but not least, I guess I'm not... proposing per se a change to this, but maybe a bit of a discussion and
financial match.
We can talk about that as well,
no,
if you'd like. But the criteria number 7, regional quality planning, which is what Mayor Allen was alluding to earlier. Marriott Slaterville is the only community that I'm aware of that has been actually awarded a Quality Growth Community Award, which is a program that I am led to believe is no longer, communities are no longer being awarded as a quality growth community. So they're kind of automatically getting those points every time. But it is set up in a way such that there are 4 criteria which made up the Quality Growth Communities Award, and there are these. But there are little to no communities or applicants that ever... mark any of those down or do any of those things, and I'm wondering if it's because, you know, they don't know that you can get a select few without being an actual quality growth community.
Maybe you need to take that word
right
process choice 2040, because what's important is that coordinated planning. There are two communities, I'll just use Logan and the seven communities, they all came together to put in a water, wastewater system together. You might have a area that might be in the county, a small area that has a sewer system or a water system. If they were coordinating and hooked together, somebody can plan and work together, it would be better for both, well, usually better for the poorer community, mm-hmm. such as Golden Garden Subdivision is something, you know, I'm thinking of hook to Stansbury Park or something like that. So if you put a couple points in there like this thing would, then it might have some of those poor communities say, okay, we will connect to a larger system.
Mm-hmm.
If we can get some grant money to do this.
Definitely update 2040 to 2050 because the Wasatch Shores 2050 vision has been adopted.
I'm going to take out this statement that's up there in purple about the quality growth community if that program's no longer there.
Right, and I think
we could still leave the...
Right, because so Marriott Slaterville, for example, would still get all four of those points. And then another thing I was kind of wondering is, like, it's not inherently clear by reading that, like, how does a community provide information that proves that they plan, protect, conserve critical, you know, is there more specific language we can put in there to show documentation that is really a clear, this is what you need to do to prove, or this is what we need to see to prove that you are doing these planning efforts?
Well, aren't they kind of separate down here? We have roads and water and utilities one, and another one you have housing
affordability.
And then the third one is
I guess my question
historical
is, how do we determine, like, and how do they, what can they provide us to prove?
Conservation easements.
But that's only for one of them.
Right.
And the others, I mean, I think it should be reflected in some sort of plan, whether that's general plan or a local small area plan or something.
So just provide verbiage from
in an adopted plan.
Yeah.
Okay, I just think it should be a little bit more specific. It's kind of like, do you do it? Great. All right.
And if they need to, maybe they'll put a plan together because they don't have a plan. So if it's in there, we need to.
And that's where my thinking is going is, do they have a fair housing plan? Are they meeting it?
Yeah. And this would make them move forward.
So there's one.
Right.
If they don't have a fair housing plan, well, then they'll get a point.
Is that one of the criteria a little bit later, though?
It is.
Okay.
But it's not the only, like, it's not the only part of the criteria. It also it also includes their score on their moderate income housing.
Sometimes a person needs to see that a couple times to really get registered. When you do some planning, you can just kind of write out an application, hope to get the money.
Okay, and that was real. Those were really the ones I wanted to touch on. If you guys have any more, I'd be happy to touch on those as well. The last update that is going to happen on this is updating the little bit of demographic information on the back, such as property tax rate, and then the population numbers, which are really just there for our ease and convenience when we're scoring projects. We don't have to, like, look it up and say, well, what's their tax rate? What it clearly lists out their population and their AMI as well as their tax base rate. So those will be updated to reflect the most current numbers. So that...
Do you need to update population numbers?
What's that?
Do you have a new population?
No. I still have to update those numbers.
Do you have new numbers?
Oh.
So you can add new numbers in?
We'll use probably the states, like Kimsey Gardner policies, too. We'll use whatever. We annually update our models, our travel demand model with new population numbers. So if we don't have a good source for current year-over-year data, but we use state sources, governor's office or someone else. 12
cities has to double the property rate.
Is it? That we might need
12 cities
to get from folks.
They just doubled the property tax
rate. Well,
about... They lowered it to only 82% increase rather than 115%.
Okay, so if we don't have any more discussion currently on this, I don't know if we want to make a motion to accept all the changes that we made, or...
That's what I suggest, that we make a motion.
We just do it all in one at a time.
I'll make a motion that we accept the changes as discussed.
The motion to accept changes as discussed, seconded by Mark. So is there any other discussion on it? All in favor? Hand
aye.
Raised.
Perfect. Sorry. All right, and then super quickly, I just wanted to bring to everyone's attention the membership. As of now, we have a lot of upcoming changes. We are unfortunately losing Mr. Barber and we are losing Mr. Houghton, so two devastating losses. Keep your eyes peeled for any recommendations to bring to COG. I see your looks over there.
Yeah. I will be leaving too.
You're leaving too?
I'm retiring.
You can't until.
Yep. I don't know if you have the wrong dates. I'm not supposed to be on the committee, it looks like.
No. That was actually supposed to say forever. Infinitely.
It really depends on who gets, the elections and who's
right.
Going to take
Let's see. This is the same thing that we do our other committees, which is a recommendation from COG. So there can always be people who were talked to, and then COG chairs, with that information that somebody's may mention that they're interested. But if you hear of any other elected officials who are going to either still be in the running or
that's what we did. Wasn't it COG appointed you and I?
Let Christy know, and then Andrew's
they just reappointed
COG chairs.
No,
So do you go off?
State.
Oh, no.
I was on the state, so...
So you go till 2019.
Well, my state appointment is done this year. The end of this year.
Okay.
So we'll meet one more time before the end of the year in November. We'll have to have a going away party or something, then we're leaving half of our folks.
What's the dates again? I'm sorry. What's the date for submission?
For next meeting?
Letter of intent.
Okay, that was one other thing I was going to talk about. So our funding cycle is coming up. Our How to Apply workshop is going to be held on October 18th. And I'm going to make up a flyer and I'll send that to you guys. And you guys can disseminate that out to anyone you know is going to be interested. So then we have from October to about December, you have time to put together your capital improvement list. Plan that we need, and then you also in that time frame need to hold a public hearing, and then web grant applications will be due the end of January, and then depending on how each project scores, a second public hearing will need to be held. Yes, that's pretty much the process, but first and foremost, next thing, How to Apply workshop is mandatory for any applicants who...
Are you holding it here?
Holding it here.
What if you've attended one before?
You have to come.
What's that?
You have to come.
October 18th.
October 18th. And I'll send that out to you guys. And then the other next steps that I have are to recap the September 11th policy meeting for you guys. One more side note, all the changes that we made in our criteria are required to go out for public comment. So they're going to, starting today or tomorrow, go out for a 30-day public comment period. I don't expect to hear anything from anybody.
Do they need to be reported to the regional council?
I don't believe so. I'll double check on that.
Your RGC has got to report theirs to.
I'll double check on that. We have our council meeting on Thursday. It might be too late to get on that agenda, but...
To report what?
Changes to the rating ranking criteria?
No, so this is one of those... We looked at the bylaws, and I think that this committee operates separately from our RGC Transcom Council situation. So the council doesn't ratify these changes. They're just tied directly to the funding program here. And it's the same as like the Wasatch Front Economic Development District kind of exists outside of the long-range transportation plan system. So you guys get your own review body. I think that this is where it ends.
All right.
Make sure we're following policy.
Yeah.
Okay, if someone wants to move to end the meeting.
I will.
Major.
Grabbing those guys.
Yeah.